Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Ryan Porth for joining us for that last hour. It's fun to catch up with Porth.
That was fun.
Had a lot of people enjoy that on the text line as well. Speaking of the text line, Nashville's own Big Machine Distillery wants to send you to the inaugural Tennessee Whiskey Trail experience to celebrate International Tennessee Whiskey Day coming up on May 21st at Nissan Stadium. Text WHISKEY to 615-737-1025. That's WHISKEY to 615-737-1025 to enter for your chance to win a pair of tickets. We got a lot to get to with the Titans this hour. We'll get to your text as well. I have some interesting comments from Mike Vrabel earlier this morning as well that we'll get to a little bit later here in the show.
With Charlie Weiss.
Yes.
thanks to Jared Stillman for alerting us.
Yes.
He is all over. If anybody says anything like about a local team in any sort of forum anywhere, Jared somehow.
He's on it.
It's like rabbit ear. It's just, he's got it. So apparently Charlie Weiss and Mike Vrabel talked about mentoring today.
Yes, they did. I'm sure.
Goody, goody, goody.
We'll get to more of that coming up a little bit later here in the program. You have some beef on the text line?
Well, we go from a former coworker to a current coworker. Junie Riddle, promotional coordinator for Cromwell Media, writer for ESPN 102.5 The Game. And also my buddy yesterday as we drove around a golf court, all over the golf course.
As they left me stranded with no golf cart to get back.
She's not going to let that one go.
Again, they – remember, Junie not only left me with Jared, he then took my charger, but he did bring it back, unlike my kids. So this is – as I was talking about my feelings on, like, the difference between the Julio and AJ trade. Again, the AJ trade may work out beautifully for the Titans. I don't know. And the Julio trade worked out not well, okay? But, again – You have to judge these things and how you feel about them in the moment. And if something goes good or bad, you can't then go back retroactively and say, yeah, that was good, or oh, that was terrible. No, I'm saying in the moment, what do you think? I love the Julio move because they went for it. So Junie on the text line, driven by WellsGuy.com, says Rex Road is explaining what a participation trophy is, but he tried. No, 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 no. And here's my text back. I'll just read my text back. Nah, man. I'm explaining going for it. That's what I want my GM to do. We didn't know Julio was toast or was going to be hurt. It happened, but in the moment, that was a move worth making. Had he been 80% of what he was in 2020 and he participated, that team might win it all. I mean, remember, they were the number one seed. Now, Julio Jones isn't going to stop Ryan Tannehill from throwing the picks, but I'm just saying, how different is that team if it's the Julio that we thought was coming here? I think they're fairly different, and they still went 12-5. His retort is, given a second-round pick for a wide receiver in his mid-30s was never smart. He missed 9 games in 2020 and showed signs of decline. Nowadays, you can use second-round pick to get a valuable wide receiver, just how they did with A.J. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes those picks work out, like A.J. and, you know, like Justin Jefferson. And more times, way more times still than not, they don't. And, again, it's easy. It's easy to – second guess that. So if you said that from the start, and I'll give Jared credit on that,
he did,
then good for you. And I'm going to say, look, I know what I thought at the time, and I watched Julio Jones play in 2020, and that guy who was on the field in 2020 is someone you want on the field for you in 2021, and we didn't see much of that guy.
We did not see much of that guy. And look, I'll be honest. When they made the Julio move, I was fired up. I thought it was the right thing to do. I was glad that they went for it. And I can't sit here and say now that it didn't work out, that it was the wrong move. Like, obviously.
I mean, it'll be remembered as a bad move.
Yeah, I mean,
of course.
It proved to be the wrong move.
Yeah.
But at the time, I was excited about it. I thought John Robinson should do it. And I thought it was a risk worth taking. And it just didn't work out. Sometimes that happens.
And in the moment, that was – no, it's not a participation trophy. Is, you know what a participation trophy is, Junie? It's, hey, but we haven't been crappy and we've been pretty good over several years, and you know we're still kind of flirting with the playoffs and we're okay. See, kind of like the Preds in the last few years. Kind of like maybe things are headed toward with the Titans. Because see, I want to go for it when it's appropriate, when you're close enough, and that's what that was. AJ Brown was not that. It was absolutely not going for it.
Well, it was not going for it for sure. Now, whether or not it works out for the Titans in the long term remains to be seen. I mean, that's something we're not going to know the answer to potentially for years. Like, I don't know what A.J. Brown's career is going to look like in Philadelphia. I know that if he stays healthy, he's a darn good football player. And, you know, I think he's a guy that can be a game changer for that offense. I still don't trust the quarterback. I don't think Jalen Hurts is very good. So I think ultimately that's going to limit the production that A.J. Brown has. And, you know, I think there is an interesting point, and I don't totally ignore the social media thing going to that market. Like, you're going to have to get some thicker skin going to that market in Philadelphia, because you have some problems with some tweets here and some things like that. Just imagine what that's going to be like in Philadelphia. So I don't know how it's going to work out for A.J. Brown in Philly, but a lot of this story for the Titans' point of view is, okay, how does Treylon Burks work out? Because if Treylon Burks comes in and is immediately a stud, well, then you start to live with the A.J. Brown trade a little bit more if you're a Titans fan. If he doesn't, and he's, let's just say even this year, he just takes a while to get going and he's not much of a factor and, you know, there's not much you get out of him this year, I will always look back at this team in this last two-year window of, all right, you had the number one seed in 2021, your quarterback screwed it up in the playoffs, and then you came back with largely the same group the next year with a team that you still felt like could compete in the AFC, and then all of a sudden A.J. Brown was gone. How would we know the impact A.J. Brown could have had on that Titans team? That's something I'll always wonder if it works out that way.
You know, another thing on the Julio trade that Porth brought up and that everybody brings up now, and it's true, but I don't think one soul mentioned at the time, including Jared, I don't think a single soul brought this up as a negative at the time, is that it also did involve restructuring Tannehill, which essentially,
correct,
you know, made it so that there was no way that you were moving on from him after last season. Not one soul said that was a bad thing, as they shouldn't have, because why would you think so?
Well, we thought,
based on how he had played,
we thought it was a formality at that time that he was going to get a second or another contract with the Titans,
and
because
he still,
of how well he played, and he might.
He still might.
He might.
I mean, if he does, then you got to tip your cap to him. One, in dealing with the bullseye, like Porth said, but two, again, if he does and he plays that well this year, given the surroundings, I'm going to be awfully impressed. Because this team now is built to win 24-20 games. If it wins enough of them, who cares? It's about winning. And maybe their defense is good enough and they can run the ball and he plays really well and they can be fine. But they are no longer – they are getting, you know, further and further away from that 31-point-a-game offense of 2020.
Joe, coming up next, I want to get your thoughts on the Treylon Burks situation. It continues to be a topic of conversation about him leaving minicamp early the other day on Friday. Is he out of shape? What's going on with Treylon Burks? What reaction is fair? What's not fair when it comes to the Treylon Burks situation? I want to get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
I listen to Todd. We defer, you know, to Todd. So, you know, we all have to – we got to get these guys in here. We got to study. We got to learn what to do, teach them our program. And, you know, so if he's back out there tomorrow, then we'll coach him up.
Obviously, you expect these guys to come in shape, but how much is something like that to be expected?
I think it's hard to think that they can recreate, with a trainer, how we do things. And we see that with guys that have come back and started with our off-season program and guys that have joined a few weeks in. It's just different. And I know that they're working and they think that they are trying to get in shape, but that's just not the case. And so that's something that we have to focus on and try to make sure that we're getting some work in. But, you know, with all of them, you know, trying to be as smart as we possibly can, Jim.
That was Mike Vrabel the other day discussing the Treylon Burks situation. And, Joe, we talked about this a little bit yesterday on the show. You were there for Titans rookie minicamp over the weekend. Treylon Burks leaving practice early on Friday. He was back out there on Saturday, was on the field the whole time, didn't necessarily participate the entire time, but Treylon Burks back out there on Saturday nonetheless. And there's been a lot of reaction to that from Titans fans talking about, okay, well, what happened? Is he out of shape? Did he get hurt? Are there allergies? What's in the world's going on out there with Treylon Burks? And we did not hear from Treylon Burks over the weekend, did not hear from Mike Vrabel on Saturday either. And there's been reaction about this kind of all over the place. And I didn't hear Stillman and Company yesterday. I was on the golf course hitting, you know, shots left and right and not necessarily straight. But apparently he was talking about the weight of Treylon Burks. And maybe that's a big deal for the Titans as they move forward here. Maybe he's too heavy, all these other things. Teron Davenport tweeted it, Jared, yesterday, said, quote, "Why do you continue to make an issue of Treylon Burks' weight? Have you seen him in person to make this assessment, or are you basing this off of what someone supposedly told you about him being two biscuits away from a tight end? Even if it was an issue, it's May. He got through the second practice with no issues. I know that doesn't fit your narrative, but he was fine on day two. I get that it's a slow news day, though." This coming from TD, tweeting at Jared yesterday. So what do you make of all the reaction to this from Jared, from TD, and the reaction as a whole to Treylon Burks in this weekend? What is fair? What is not fair in your mind?
Well, so apparently Jared on the show yesterday read, you know, that, like what TD said, but he also played a clip from Kaharski, which I've not heard, so I don't. But according to Jared, we're playing a game of telephone here, Kaharski was basically like completely 180 from TD in terms of he's out of shape, he's overweight, et cetera, et cetera. For me, the two biscuits from a tight, that was apparently a quote, right? I think that was a quote from a scout. It might have been at The Athletic. I honestly don't remember that too. So if Jared's listening, go ahead and text that in too, and then I'll check your facts. We have to go through a fact-checking process after you text. But in seriousness, that was said somewhere. When I look at Treylon Burks, he didn't look overweight to me, but I'm also, you know how it is. You're talking about elite athletes. You're talking about receiver in the NFL.
Right.
So you can be, quote, unquote, in shape and not, overweight for a lineman. Sometimes that can be obvious, right? Like you're spilling over your pants, right?
Well, let's play that clip from PK. Michelle, do you have that pulled up? Let's hear that clip that Jared was talking about from Paul Kaharski.
I think he's terribly out of shape, which is weird. I mean, you know, there's no SEC city, and certainly Arkansas as fine with my car says it's 87 degrees right now. I mean, it was not exceedingly hot for a May day in Nashville. I went to Willis first to watch some footwork drills. By the time I got over to the receivers, they had run, you know, on bungee cords. I'm told he was pulled back by his first bungee cord rep, which is weird. He was already hunched over, hands on knees, having trouble gathering himself. He fell further and further back in the line. He took the one rep that you guys are showing at some point here where they ran under the, cart or roof, whatever you want to call it, to stay low. And then he fell out.
So that was Paul Kaharski from Outkick 360 and PaulKaharski.com.
So again, Jared just completely exaggerates. Okay. Thank you for finding that and playing that. Because Jared's like, oh, PK's going off, but how he's out of way. No, that really wasn't what happened. But I, by the way, saw that drill that PK is discussing there. And yes, they have those bands and they pulled him and he was like, wow, he kind of like made a reaction like, whoa, you know. And I think it was Rob Moore was like, welcome. You know, it was kind of a light moment actually. Again, it was not long after that. You're talking inhaler, you're talking trainer inside. So maybe it's as simple as overweight, out of shape. I don't know that, and I think we're taking a leap to assume that. If you had a bad, yeah, I mean, I hear what Garcia's saying on Arkansas, I agree, but it was hot as hell out there that day. I mean, again, all these other guys are in pad or, you know, in helmets and stuff too, and they're fine. But sometimes you just have a bad reaction to something, don't you? Can you have that for a day? Now, and again, I guess what I'm wondering is the next day, and there are different characterizations, you know, TD.
Well, that's the thing, like.
Beauclair, I think Beauclair was more accurate. I mean, he missed a lot of stuff.
That's what I don't understand. Like, I agree with a lot of what TD said. He wasn't fine the next day if he's not participating in every part of the drill. Like, he's not fine.
Right. They were careful. Yeah, right. They were careful with him, and so he missed quite a bit of stuff. He did not do a ton. When they did team, he did like a couple reps early, and then it was a long time before we saw him again. So, is that, well, Traylon's out of shape, so just got to ease him back in, or is that Traylon's reacting to the grass? Like, I don't know. But I just keep an open mind on it, and I think that if Jared or whoever is saying you should freak out. Treylon Burks is overweight. Oh, my gosh, it's not going to work out. I mean, that's an overreaction. Come on.
It's May.
It's May. Now, look, 2 months from now, camp starts. So
we better get with it. Yeah.
Look, this week, which we have no access to, next week, OTAs, I think there's at least a day. Hey, you know what? It's important. It's important that he's out there with the veterans and this looks more like a speed bump and some had a rough go early, whatever it is, and he got over it, took the right allergy med or is fine now with his conditioning, whatever it is. I mean, if he's going to keep being held out of stuff in the spring, then you start to wonder, like, what's going on with this guy? Right. I get that. But, hey, you know, it's a day.
Well, and I also, like, I put a lot of stock into what Vrabel said, too, in terms of, you know, it's a different deal in the NFL, going through an NFL-style practice, going through NFL pace, all these things. Like, you know, it's hard to know what to expect there from a rookie until you can experience it. Now, I'm not trying to – like, if it's as simple as Treylon Burks was not in the best shape, like, I'm not trying to excuse that because it's not like he's the only rookie out there. There are other rookies that are in good shape, and they got through the whole practice and all this other stuff. So I'm not saying it's no deal at all. You know, Treylon Burks is not in good shape there. We just – we don't know. That's why it would have been nice to hear from Treylon Burks over the weekend.
Yes.
And secondly,
we'd be done talking about this right now.
Yeah. And secondly, it's one of those things where, you know, you get in shape, you see what the program is now. If you're Treylon Burks and you come back in August for training camp and you're fine, and we never talk about this again. Like, I don't think this, for those, and I don't think this is happening very often, but for those that are taking the leap of, oh, Treylon Burks is out of shape. This is just going to be a disaster of a pick for the Titans. Let's pump the brakes a little bit right now.
Yeah.
It's May.
And look, understand that this is how it's going to be with him. Everything. It's just how it is. The draft night created this, okay?
Yes.
It's just what it is. And from one of the first things I thought after the thoughts of, oh, my God, what have they done? Are you kidding me? WTF, WTAF, et cetera, et cetera. I was like, oh, poor Treylon Burks.
Yeah.
And here we go. But Matt Gallatin on the text line says, Stillman and Company, the InfoWars of Nashville Sports Radio. It's just a little bit of an exaggeration. It's not all that. It's just a little bit of an exaggeration. But, I mean, there are different perspectives on last weekend. But that's good, too, in a way. That's why, you know, if you're trying to follow a team, get as many perspectives as you can, other than Jared. Just kidding, Jared.
So, I mean, the bottom line is I'd like to see the next time that we're, you know, able to see a practice, it'd be nice to see Burks out there and to be able to go through the whole thing. And whether maybe it is allergies. Like, maybe it's as simple as that. I know my wife, lots of people struggling with allergies right now. So, especially if you're not from here, it could be a – could be an eye-opening experience for you.
Yes.
Allergies in Tennessee.
I have a child who we went to an allergist, and they did the back thing.
Yeah.
And it blew up. And I'm not going to – I don't want to call out any of the specific children, but recently this child rolled around in some grass.
Yeah.
And it was almost freakish. Yeah. So, no, that is a real thing. Okay, Rob on the text line, if this happened, I missed it. He said that Schefter said that Burks forgot to take his Allegra, met with an allergist, is back on track. Have you seen this?
I haven't seen it. I'm not saying he didn't say it, but I can't find that.
I mean, there's a lot of information and potential misinformation. That would easily clear this up if that's the case. But if that happened, how did everybody miss that? I'm going to search. And we're going to find this out.
Does Schefter believe that Derrick Henry's out the rest of the season? Should we go back down that road?
That's true. I mean, Schefter can be wrong too. This is we have certainly learned this.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get to some interesting comments from Mike Vrabel early this morning with Charlie Weiss involved as well. That's on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:35 on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds begin a six-game homestand taking on the Louisville Bats, the AAA affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Spirited Hive. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee.
You're in timeout, Rob. You know, Rob, you've always been a nice poster. I've enjoyed some of your – I mean, there's some – I'm going back. There's some really funny ones in here. I guess there's not too much of a history, but it's
just
fine.
For clarification, you're not talking about me.
Yeah, Rob on the text line was being sarcastic about Adam Schefter. So we are now the InfoWars of Sports Talk Radio.
Yes, we
so,
are.
Sorry, everybody. That was not something that Schefter reported. And also, Rob just taunted us with a Michael Scott gift.
He did.
But I do think that, like, you know, whatever you want to call it, allergy-induced asthma, stuff like that, is absolutely a possible thing here, which hopefully will be cleared up soon.
Yeah. Josh from White House on the text line says, Joe and Jared really don't like each other, do they? It's coming from Josh from White House.
And as
There's
I wrote,
a lot of people that think that.
Yeah, as I wrote to Josh, I love Jared. I hung out with him all day yesterday. He needs a life mentor, and I am called to be his mentor, and we're working on it. We are working hard on Jared, okay?
By the way, speaking of Treylon Burks, this is coming from Field Yates. The Titans and first-round receiver Treylon Burks have agreed to terms on his four-year, $14.3 million fully guaranteed contract with a fifth-year option. So there you go.
Does it include Allegra? Is that part of the signing bonus?
I don't know. Apparently Mike Vrabel
Remember
was
when that
on...
used to be news, by the way?
Yeah.
Like, you know, hey, rookies come to terms.
Not going to be a rookie holdout.
Holdouts used to be a huge deal. It's kind of nice that it's not.
Yeah. Apparently Mike Vrabel was on Sirius XM NFL Radio earlier today, and as you might expect, he was asked about Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis and the mentor situation and had an interesting response. Charlie Weiss, the one asking the question. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say earlier today on Sirius XM NFL Radio.
You went and drafted a very highly touted quarterback, Malik Willis, that people – I thought that was a great pick in the third round. How do you think, you know, after – I saw you supported what Tannehill had to say, and I understand that, but how do you think – you know, how do you think that that's going to work? Do you think that Ryan really will end up being somewhat of a mentor for Malik?
All I can tell you is what I saw yesterday when they were both on the field together. And it looked like a team with three quarterbacks that are all supporting each other and two veteran guys that have been here that understand the drills that are helping the younger player. And that's all I can go by is what I saw yesterday. And I would say that was extremely positive.
So that was Vrabel earlier this morning on Sirius XM NFL Radio with Charlie Weiss. I kind of got the vibe there. Charlie Weiss was not a big fan of Ryan Tannehill's comments about being or not being a mentor to Malik Willis.
He went off about it a few days ago.
And that was his question there to Vrabel. What did you make of that response there from Vrabel? It sounded like he didn't have a whole lot of interest in discussing that question with Charlie Weiss, but did point out that apparently Ryan Tannehill, Logan Woodside, and Malik Willis all on the field together, and Tannehill was apparently very helpful. It's good to know.
See, Porth earlier talked about PTSD.
Yeah.
I'm getting some Charlie Weiss PTSD, man. Oh. I've been in some interesting pressers with that dude. Oh, yeah. My God. When you get the deal he got in 2005 for almost beating USC,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What a career. Yeah, that just seemed like Vrabel annoyed at the whole thing. You know, it's like I'm sure Vrabel, like I'm sure everybody in the building, you know, when you saw the reaction, a lot you can go and say blame media if you want and say purely it's all you idiots with putting your headlines up and talking about it, making a big deal of it. But come on.
It was mainly former players and coaches, the ones that were going crazy about it, though.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, that's a lot of people.
Sure.
There are a lot of – make up a lot of media, right? But you also had to be a little bit like, why'd you say it that way or why'd you have to say it? But, I mean, it's – I don't think there was ever any doubt, as there shouldn't have been, as we talked about the next day, that Tannehill's going to be a good teammate to him and help him and do all that stuff. It's just – it's –
I'm hoping we're getting to the point
it's
where this
nauseating.
Is
nauseating. Yeah. I mean, again, like we talked about it. Yeah. Well, we talked about it yesterday when I was on Darren Donick and Chase the last hour from the celebrity golf outing with Chase and Elijah. Like maybe is this you know, is this it? Is it, you know, Malik Willis said this and all this. Does it end it? And I said, it's not over, unfortunately, whether you like it or not. And frankly, I don't think it should be. But it's not over until Tannehill talks again.
Yep.
And Tannehill gets a chance to say whatever he wants to say about it. And if people get mad about him being asked about that, well, I'm sorry. But, like, it, whether he likes it or not or meant it or not, to do this, it created this huge thing where, again, today on Sirius NFL Radio, Mike Vrabel's being asked about it. It just became a huge thing. So Tannehill's going to have to be asked about it, and he's going to talk about it. And I think at that point it'll die. I mean, we'll sit there all July and watch training camp, and I promise you that Tannehill, just like he's been with every other quarterback who's been there, he'll be a good starting quarterback. And he'll help Malik Willis whenever needed. He's not going to flip him off and turn away and earmuffs when he asks him a question. He never was. It's just this thing is – it's tiresome. And, but thank you, Jared, for finding that clip and letting us talk more about it today.
Yes.
I'm finding a way to blame Jared again.
You may have reached your 60% quota today. With Jared.
God, you're right.
Yes.
We actually may have, yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's Porth. Maybe it's Porth's fault.
Maybe so.
Maybe it's Hub's fault. Yes. I don't think we've talked enough about Hub today.
Eric in Bellevue texts again, says, Joe, it's not your job to mentor Jared. LOL. It's coming from Eric in Bellevue on the text line.
Yes, exactly. Mentoring is a big deal now. I mean, in all seriousness, I think that it is older people's job to mentor younger people.
Yeah,
Michelle.
So you to Robbie and I?
I was expecting one of you to immediately jump in and rip on me.
Boomer.
How to make a bong out of a green pepper.
Coffee edibles.
Yeah, exactly.
All only the show in stuff town.
In life.
Well, only show in town. Talks about that stuff. I mean, I agree. Like Vrabel, when he came out the other day, it said he didn't have a problem with what Tannehill said. I believe him. Now, I do think a little part of him, when Tannehill made those comments, was probably like, oh God, here we go. This is going to be some big thing. I don't know why I just clapped. This is going to be some big thing that the media runs with. And I don't know if he saw it becoming the firestorm that it did, but once it happens that way, he's just like, oh gosh, can we not say that again? It'd be great.
I mean, that question, like his response to that, which is pretty civil, but it's a good thing that came from Charlie Weiss, who he was with the New England Patriots organization with him for years.
Imagine that, you know, came from you.
Yeah, or even like I don't know, like Rich Eisen or something. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's a good thing that was Charlie Weiss asking that one. He's beyond annoyed. But really, who isn't?
That's the thing. Like, everybody like keeps texting in. We'll get a few texts every now and then, and like, why are you guys still talking about this? Like, trust me, I don't want to be talking about this, but it continues to be a thing.
And, yeah, and again, like, Charlie Weiss went off about it. And I'd love to know, well, I didn't listen to the clip, so I know Jared has. Oh, just brought up Jared again. But did Charlie Weiss listen to the entire quote before he went off about it?
Probably not.
But, like, how do you not? Now I need to find the... Jared, if you're listening, send me the chart. I want to hear the Charlie Weiss going. They played it on their show. Because, like, that's so irresponsible if not. Because I just don't see how, like, Jeff Van Gundy, how you go off about this if you heard the whole thing, if you heard it. Because sometimes you read words, it's just like, you know, how some people on the phone are a certain way, but when you text with them, they're like, gosh, they're really kind of a jerk. You know, like, text can come off, you know what I mean? Like, written word can come off a lot different than spoken word.
Sure.
You listen to that whole quote. How do you come away?
Yeah, but it's 2022, man. People just don't do that anymore. But I hear you. I agree with everything you're saying. I agree with everything you're saying.
We have access to all this stuff.
I know.
Quickly.
I agree with everything you're saying, but we live in hot take worlds where people just read something, they go with it. I mean, look, I've done that. I can't sit here and pretend like I've not done that.
Well, that's true, and I have too. Like, there's times when it's from a, you know, it's someone from the Broncos or, you know, the Calgary Flames or whatever. Like, you'll see a little quote or whatever. But even let's say like the Avs last year. I mean, you at least like Adrian Dater. You know, you ever say like we watched the whole thing, right?
Yeah, glad we did.
But I, yeah, exactly. I guess that's just pure entertainment. I don't know. I don't know. How do we fix this? We have one segment left today to fix sports talk and sports media in general.
Let's see what we can do. We'll continue to take more of your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025. We threw this question out there earlier. How good do you think this Titans defense can be? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
I have an issue today, you know.
What's your issue?
I have an issue with Ryan Tannehill. I do.
What, that he doesn't want a mentor?
Yeah, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I mean, when Joe Flacco did this a couple of years ago, I hammered Joe Flacco.
You did. You put the wood to him.
And I think that Ryan Tannehill deserves the same hammering. I don't understand a veteran quarterback saying, you know, it's not my job to mentor another guy that's coming in to play my position. I just don't get that. But Ryan Tannehill, here is a player. He should feel confident in his own shoes. Okay, but obviously the way the season ended with him throwing a bunch of picks in the playoff game, he doesn't feel that way. So they draft a quarterback in the third round, mind you. This isn't like they took one in the first round. This isn't like they even took one in the second round. They took a quarterback in the third round, and then you come out and say that it's not my job to mentor him. Give me a break.
Well, I look at it on a couple of different levels. All right?
Hopefully not a positive level in any of them.
There you go. There was the rant by Charlie Weiss on the mentor situation, and I think Rex Road might actually leave the studio after that one.
Well, just listen to Charlie. Again, I'm not kidding about PTSD. I'm going to tell you a quick story.
Okay.
Michigan State and Notre Dame played a game. It was a night game, like 06. And, like, Michigan State receiver Matt Tramon went to the sideline and, like, running out after making a catch and sort of lightly bumped Charlie Weiss, you know. And I think they gave him a 15-yard penalty. So then after the game, it was this big thing. Notre Dame came back to win. It was this crazy game, like Brady Quinn against Drew Stanton and Charlie Weiss. I just remember his press release, and I got hit. So 2 days later, Michigan State's press conference, John L. Smith, probably the wildest character I've ever covered, they brought their own TV with different angles of the thing on the sideline to show that, like, Charlie Weiss actually just totally flopped and faked it. I mean, anyway, I just have all these flashbacks are coming back for me on Charlie Weiss, man. You will have a schematic advantage every week with me as your coach.
That's right. That's right.
But there you go. He didn't listen. He heard the word. Yep. He said he's not going to mentor him, and it goes off about it. So this is a national show. Like, it's not hard to just get the 7 seconds of audio. Get the paragraph. It's like 7 seconds. You could get it easily. And at least, like, maybe then you'll have a little bit different. Maybe he would have had the same reaction. Maybe. But I bet you it would have softened it a little bit.
I don't know.
I mean,
Charlie Weiss just told you. He hammered Joe Flacco for the same thing, man. He's not letting Ryan Tannehill off the hook.
That's right. Full accountability for all. Anyway, we would talk about the Titans defense.
Let's talk about the Titans defense. So we went through this earlier, and really the one area – I have a couple areas concerned. Number one, the defense looks great on paper. Looks like that's going to be by far the strength of the team. A lot of the same guys coming back, and now you've added a draft pick in the secondary to go along with it with Roger McCreary in the second round. So you bolstered that part of it. Really, that's the one area I look at on the defense and think to myself, is that going to be good enough? I feel really good about Christian Fulton. Honestly, I feel pretty good about Elijah Molden. I thought he got a lot better as the season went on last year. Will Caleb Farley be healthy? Can he stay healthy? And if so, has he made enough progress where you feel pretty good about him being out there on an island with somebody, if need be? If that's the case, then this defense, I think, has the chance to be great. If it's not the case, can Roger McCreary come in and kind of fill that role as a rookie? But other than that, like, I love the linebacking core. Obviously, I like the front four that they bring back to the table defensively. I love the safety duo of Hooker and Beyer. Now, if one of those two guys goes down, then may start to have a problem back there. We'll see what Theo Jackson brings to the table. But on paper, should be a pretty darn good Titans defense. I guess the one thing that I do think about, and I've heard a couple people bring this up too, Danico Autry. He was so good last year. He's 31. He'll be 32 on July 15th. Will he slow down at all? And if he does, what does that mean for the bottom line of the Titans defense?
Yeah. Well, and I think as you look at that when you're the Titans, maybe you think about managing the reps a little bit too. And that's one thing I really like about this team. David Beauclair brought it up earlier. Doesn't get talked about much. But remember, like, Tyre Tarte got hurt and Naquan Jones kind of stepped in. Well, how about Tarte and Naquan Jones and Laurell Murchison in his third year?
Yep.
To provide, I think, really quality depth up front. So important to be able to roll guys in there. And if you can do that a little bit more this year, you know, because obviously Autry plays all over the place, and maybe save him a little bit more for pass rushing situations. Because, you know, he played all over the place last year, but also, you know, first down, second down, third down. Maybe if you can manage his reps a little bit, that staves that off. I mean, again, until a guy falls off, you have to assume he's the player he was the year earlier. Autry was so relentless, powerful. He's just such a kind of violent and relentless player that I thought that was probably not talked about enough last year in terms of what it did. Jeffrey Simmons is the star, of course, and that's a guy who I am confident in saying the Titans are going to give the big deal to. But Autry, I don't think you can overstate what he meant to that team. And they do need that same Autry this year for sure.
Well, the big thing that I think should excite you about, you know, those four guys coming back is, I mean, I'd assume Bud Dupree's healthy. He's had a full offseason training, not rehab, and he's ready to go from the jump next year. And look, I thought he was fine at the beginning of last year, but he flashed here and there, but he wasn't consistently disruptive. As the season went on, he got really good. Like, Bud Dupree, I thought, was consistently disruptive. And if that's the Bud Dupree you're going to get from the jump this year, well, what sort of a difference does that make in his bottom line in terms of production? And you know, we talked about this. Sack totals are not everything, and I understand that. But, I mean, you look at last year, he had 3 sacks. Now, I think he was more productive than that in terms of what he brought to the table. But I would assume if he's healthy from start to finish this year, that sack total is going to jump up pretty significantly for Bud Dupree.
Yeah, you know, Bud Dupree, someone earlier, we were talking about best signings and all that stuff for John Robinson. Someone threw that one out as a best. You know, I would say at this point, it still has a chance to end up in either category.
Yeah.
You know? Now, you got to see a lot more than you saw last year, but you also knew last year what you were getting into. You signed a guy coming off an ACL. So I agree with you. I think he got stronger. He had some very good moments along the way. The Rams game late, you know, the Chiefs, he looked like what they signed.
Yeah.
But yeah, this year, for it to even be thought of in that framework, then he's got to be a double digit sack guy this year.
Well, he's getting paid a ton of money.
He's getting paid to be that. And if he is that, and then that helps Landry, you know, and you throw in some Rashad Weaver. You still have Ola Adeniyi, which was a very good find. I mean, the front, that could be as good as any out there, I think.
It could be. And, you know, we talked about this when they signed Harold Landry. That's a lot of money that you're investing in the edge with him and with Dupree. Like, you got to have that payoff for you. You can't invest that amount of money and then the production go significantly down this year. Like, I don't know. Again, you know, Harold Landry was so good last year. I don't know if he's going to get the same sack total that he had a year ago, but he needs to be as disruptive as he was. When you're paying him that much money and you're paying Bud Dupree that much money, like, those two guys have got to dominate for you this year.
Yeah, and I think with Landry, the durability, and what do you have? He had a hamstring for a little bit last year, right?
Yeah, but he played through it.
The durability and the effort and the versatility, that's been there the whole time. The sack total hasn't, but I think that was a matter of him more refining his game than like finding some contract year level of effort. And if it was that, then you could be worried about a regression. But I just think he got better, And so if you get better, then you should be able to build on that. And I think – I don't know, again, that he's going to have the same production like you said, but I'd be real surprised if Harold Landry is like some big disappointment in his weekly performance this year.
Joe, is this show the last time that we'll talk about the Ryan Tannehill mentor situation until Tannehill talks again?
Let's make a pact. Can we do that?
Yes, we can.
But there are forces beyond our control that sometimes draw us in. But
I know.
Let's try. Let's really try.
Fun show today. Thanks for David Beauclair from SI.com for joining us earlier. Thanks to Ryan Porth for joining us as well.
He's still hanging out there in the hallway.
He is.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Just kidding.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. The DDC coming up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.